Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our evening dedicated to Inner World of Chassidus, a collaboration of so many shuls, so many organizations, so many institutions, and so many rabbanim from around the country and around the world. It's truly so exciting to be together tonight, to be together learning and yearning and aspiring and growing, to be striving and to be stretching, particularly on an evening where so many around us and so many in the world are occupied and preoccupied with activities that are anything but this. We are living, today is the eve of the Gregorian New Year, the end of the secular year, and there are so many around the world who are waiting for a ball to drop. And while we're waiting for the ball to drop, we are gathered together in order to not drop, but to rise up. I hear in the background, where I am here in South Florida, fireworks. And while others are shooting frivolous fireworks in the air, we're trying to light a fire inside our hearts and inside our souls. And so an enormous thank you for being with us this evening and for being part of this endeavor, part of this effort, a chabura, a chevra, a community of people who are simply trying to grow and to light ourselves on fire together. I want to acknowledge and thank the over 50 shuls who are sponsoring, way too many to name, but whose logos are listed on the flyer promoting the evening. What a reflection, what an expression of achdus. What a reflection that what these communities diverse in so many different ways, but have in common, united together, is the eagerness and the goal, the will to learn and to grow. In our Parsha in Vayechi, when the brachas are being given to Ephraim and Menashe, it says, Becha yivarech Yisrael, through you the Jewish people will be blessed. The Halakha Divrei Yisrael, the Yecheskel of Kushmir says, why doesn't it say Bachem? It's Ephraim and Menashe, it's two. It should say the plural. Why is it Becha in the singular? There's such a powerful message that if we want bracha, if we want blessing to be able to be transmitted, if we want to be blessed in our lives, then it's not the plural, the many. We have to see ourselves in the singular. And so tonight, 50 shuls collaborating to come together to learn to grow, a sense of bechona bachem, united and unified and collaborating and co-sponsoring. What a beautiful, beautiful display. And this evening, that's not going to waste or being squandered on frivolous activity, but instead on a fire. Enormous thanks to our Boker Tzion Synagogue Rosh Beis Medrash, Rabbi Simi Shabtai, for the idea, for the effort, for the initiative, for getting out there and putting this together and promoting it. Rabbi Simi, thank you for tonight and for all that you do. And finally, a huge thank you to the sponsors in commemoration of the Earth 8th Yuritzite of Sheldon Robinson, Yisrael Zaman ben Yosef Chaim, Neshama Shana ben Aliyah. Thank you to the Sheldon and Frieda Robinson family, Elliot and Roni Robinson, Gail and Barry Levitt, Barbara and Steve Geller, thank you for your generosity. And the neshama of Yisrael Zaman ben Yosef Chaim, the many, many people who've gathered together to learn, hopefully our growth and our efforts will be a true aliyah for the neshama. It's a great honor to share this panel. Really, I feel very grossly inadequate and unworthy. Rav Reuven Brand, an enormous Talmud Chacham and a living example of living life inspired, channeling that inner world of Chassidus. And of course, Rav Moshe Weinberger, no one like him, a Rebbe to so many of us, and a Rebbe who's introduced us to a new world. How do you talk about a Rebbe who's opened our eyes and our hearts, who has stirred our souls, and can't wait and excited to listen and to learn from them? But I want to share, just in our introductory time together, some thoughts of my own. Again, who am I to talk about the inner world, the outer world, Chassidus at all, its origins and its definitions and what it means and what we're trying to accomplish? But let me share some thoughts about what it means to me. Because while I know next to nothing and would never position myself or be presumptuous to suggest I can communicate about Chassidus, I can't articulate the argument why you should buy into it or try to define it, but what I can tell you is that a few years ago when I started learning it, it touched something very, very deep inside me. You don't have to be a chassid in some external dress or wardrobe. You don't even have to be a chassid with some external behavior, menhagim and nihugim. In fact, you don't even have to call it chassidus if you're hung up on the word. But the notion that there's a deeper, deeper essence to Torah. The Torah doesn't just govern and regulate, it doesn't just inform and inspire our external behavior and our conduct, but it touches something deep inside us. It wakes it up, it arouses it, it stirs the soul, it nourishes it, it feeds it, it gives meaning and purpose and fulfillment to all that we're doing with our body. Whether you call it chassidus or pnimius, whether you call it machshava, whatever name you call it, but we desperately need it now as much or maybe arguably more than ever. This is a beautiful insight of the Nahrei Eish. I want to thank my friend Rabbi Blumenthal for sharing it with me. Rav Avram Shimon Horowitz of Zlotchev, the descendant of the Shlach Kadosh, a big baki in Europe, was a Rebbe in Chochmei Lublin. Among his Talmidim, the Shevet Alevi, Rav Vosner, Rav Hirschsprung. And he says the following in his Nahrei Eish. He says, Zos Torah Sa'olam Mikol Sifrei Tzadikim HaKadoshim Talmidei HaBesht. He's trying to articulate, what is it all about? What is this lifestyle? What is this aspiration? What is this effort? What are we trying to do? She'ikar Esa Ka'odam Malimu Torah HaKadosh HaTzarech Liyos B'dinei Tarik Mitzvos HaTorah Agluyos Lanu B'Gemara V'Rishonim. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. The core diet, the ikar of what a Jew needs to digest in the world of Torah is the nigla, the revealed world of Torah. That is the core diet of every Jew. Tarayag mitzvos, to study the 613 mitzvos, to know what's expected of us and how to behave and what we need to do. It's details, it's minutiae, it's laws to be able to fulfill and live up to it. The Gemara of Rishonim, to be a Shas Yid, to learn Gemara, to learn the Rishonim. Rambam, Veturim, Shulchan Aruch, Uposkim. V'zosi alechem v'amazon l'nefesh ha'elokis, l'hachayosa. This is the essential diet. This is what will sustain us. You need to eat. You need to eat. And if you neglect your nourishment, nutrition, if you fail to eat, you cannot live. So the diet of a Jew is Shas, Rishonim, Rambam, Tur, Shulchan Aruch, and so on. The Torah Sanigla, the revealed Torah, the laws of what we need to do, that is the essential, that is the core diet. And that, kamo alechem agashmi hamavri yisaguf, like physical bread, like physical food that sustains the body, umekashrim hanefesh achaya shenitein bo, and it connects the body. The body can be a vessel, the body can be a vehicle, an instrument through which the soul lives and operates, but only if it's nourished, only if you take care, only if you feed it. So too, we need the steady diet of Shas, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, Haval. However, he writes, keshem shalechem lo yavri v'lo yikosher, ela guf chai v'lo meis o trefa. The same way when you eat, the food only has value if you're putting the food inside a living, dynamic, animated, vibrant being. But if it's a corpse, if it's a dead body, if it's a lifeless body, it can't eat. It can't eat. Ratzalomar kein atorah kedosh eini chol lachios lakasher rak nefesh chaya. So what chassidus or panimius or machshava or whatever name you want to call it, but the effort and the aspiration to touch the depths of our being, to light our soul on fire, not just to go through the motions, but to be present and mindful and to find meaning in all that we do. That's what it means to be alive. Yes, Shas, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch cannot be neglected. It's our steady diet. We have to eat it every single day from the smorgasbord called the Torah Hanigla. That is our responsibility. And that is how we will live, and that is how we sustain ourselves, and that is how we have a continuity. And we have to see it as the very food that feeds our soul, and yet, if it's a lifeless corpse, then what use is food at all? And so this effort, and our theme for tonight, and the extraordinary Rabbanim that we have, who will be following me tonight, are teaching us not only about the food for our soul, which they are true scholars in, but they're teaching us how to be alive. They're putting a defibrillator to our soul and shocking us back to life. They're lighting us on fire. They're lighting us on fire. You can be physically alive, but spiritually empty and dead and hollow. How many do we know, and how many of us ourselves are killing it in Gashmias? Maybe we have what we dreamt of, the car, the house, the things, the possessions, the experiences, and yet there's such an emptiness, there's such a hollow vacuum inside. Our neshama is crying. Our neshama is dehydrated, not only of the Torah Sanigla, but it's practically a corpse, it's on life support. You can be physically alive, but spiritually empty, dead, and hollow. And the inverse, the opposite, is also true. Yaakov Avinu lo meis, your body can give out, but you can continue to live through your spirit, through your ruach, when your soul is on fire. It's interesting, there are two parashiyos in the Torah which talk about people dying. And you know what they're called? Chayesara and Vayechi. Because life and death are not defined by the pulse of our body. But whether we're alive or dead is defined by the health and well-being of our soul. Do we know we have a soul? Do we know that we are a soul that has a body? We're not a body that has a soul. Do we know what nourishes it? Do we know what sustains it? Do we know how it feels? Are we in communication and conversation with it? Are we alive? Or are we walking, are the walking dead? Chayisara and Vayechid, two parshios talking about death that are described by life, because when our neshama is on fire, then we achieve immortality, then we can truly live. There's so many people, and there's a piece of every one of ourselves that goes through the motions in life. We're mailing it in, we're on autopilot. We wake up and our life is so predetermined by the habits that we formed, by the patterns that we've created, by the momentum that's carrying us. How do we achieve a level of mindfulness? How can we be present? How can we be transformed through each of the experiences that we have? We can't do it unless we're connected to something true, connected to something real, connected to something eternal, connected to something everlasting, connected to something so much bigger than the here and now, and then what we see, so much bigger than just ourselves. This tragedy of people who are fulfilling Tayareg mitzvahs. I'm not talking about people who are ill-informed or non-observant. I'm talking about us, people shomrei Torah u'mitzvos. People who are learning the daf and going to minyan, who are davening three times a day, who are being vigilant and scrupulous in the world of kashrus and Shabbos, who are familiar and aware of the minutiae and details of laws, and yet there's hollow, there's emptiness, there's something missing. They're dead while alive. This tragedy expresses itself even in the area of Torah learning. Pasuk tells us when Yaakov is running from his brother, Vayikat Yaakov Mishnaso, we know the story. He rests his weary head to rest. He lays it to rest. And he falls asleep and he has the dream of the ladder, the stairway to heaven. And when he wakes up, Vayikat Yaakov Mishnaso, he wakes up from his sleep. Vayomer, and he proclaims, Achen Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, ve'anochi lo yadati. Wow, there's Hashem in this place. I had no idea. I had no idea. No, Yaakov fell asleep and he has this dream of the bridge, the ladder between heaven and earth, and he says, Hashem is down here. I thought he was only up there. I thought he was in the heavens. I thought he was in Shul and in the Beis Medrash. I thought he's in the Siddur and when the Sefer's open. I didn't realize he comes with me. I didn't know that there's a bridge from heaven to earth. I didn't know that he travels. I didn't know that he charges me. Wherever I am, in the gym and at work and in the supermarket and at home, not only in the Beis Medrash, in the Shul. V'anuchi lo yadati, I didn't know Hashem was with me in the mundane, in what seemingly looks like the profane. That there too is Hashem. That there too Hashem is speaking to me and available to me and expecting from me. And that if I'm Davik, if I cling and stick to Him, if I glue myself and attach myself to Him, He is with me everywhere I go. Yaakov wakes up and he says, I just spent 14 years in the Beis Medrash. I just grew up in the tents of Yaakov Avinu, of Shem Ve'ever. I didn't know Hashem can be found outside. My friends, Hashem comes with us everywhere. We don't leave Him behind when we go to work and when we go to the supermarket and when we go to gym. There's a relationship, an ongoing relationship and bond. We cling to Him and He holds on to us everywhere, wherever we are. You see this in our davening. The Gemara says, Halavai she'yispala kol yom kulo. Wouldn't it be amazing if a person davened the entire day and you can't help but wonder, daven the whole day? I got to go to work. I got to earn an income. Daven the whole day. You got to shop and cook and clean. Daven the whole day. You got to schluff. You got to get to sleep and rest. How could you daven the entire day? And let's be honest, who wants to? In Corona, we've consolidated davening. We have retracted davening. Kol Yom Kulo, the whole day? So the Belzer Rebbe says, what does it mean? Halavai she'yispala kol yom kulo. It means not that you're in shul with the Siddur or the Tehillim open all day. Halavai, halavai. That when you walk into the bedroom, the boardroom, the operating room, the courtroom, whatever room you walk into, there's a tefillah that's uttered. May this negotiation be well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam. May it go smoothly and well. May the kugel go well. May the drasha of the Devar Torah may go well. As you're putting your kid to bed, may they fall asleep and give me nachas. May they be healthy. Halavai she'yispala. Wouldn't it be amazing if our relationship with Hashem were not just with the mitzvahs we do, check, check, check. And the relationship with Hashem was not just in the places of religious activity, but she'yispala kol hayom, that He comes with us the whole day wherever we are. So Yaakov wakes up and he sees this ladder, this bridge, heaven and earth. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to dwell with Him, to live with Him, to be dovek to Him down here on earth. But I once saw a pshat, which is so devastatingly true and so demands really a major reform to our Jewish education is tremendous. Our teachers, our administrators, their moser nefesh, shakar satov, the love, the gratitude we have for them. But the system needs somewhat of an overhaul. And it said the following pshat. Vayikat Yaakov Mishnaso, Yaakov wakes up, Mishnaso means sleep. But that same root, Shin Nun Hei, can also mean from his learning, from learning Torah. A person can wake up from learning Torah. Lishanos v'shinantam levanecha also means to learn. Yaakov wakes up from learning and he says, wow, achin yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati? Hashem is here? I had no idea. I didn't know. I didn't know that you're allowed to get closer to Hashem in the Daf Yomi. I didn't know in the discussion of chametz and matzah and what leavens and what mixes and what... I didn't know that in Baba Kama, if your ox gores my ox, I'm allowed to also get closer to Hashem. Yaakov wakes up, Mishnaso, from his learning. He closes the Tanakh, he closes the Chumash, he closes the Gemara. And he says, Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh? You mean every time I learn, I can see it as the blueprint, the will, the vision of Hashem in this world? Anochi lo yadati, I didn't know Hashem could be found in every period of Limud Kodesh. I didn't know he could be found in every daf of Daf Yomi. I didn't know he could be found in everything I'm learning. It's not just names and places and details. It's not just analysis and intellectual gymnastics. It's not even just deriving and extracting the halachic conclusion. Achin yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. There's a ribono shel olam. I'm in a relationship. I love him and he loves me. He has expectations of me and I can lean and depend on him. V'anochi lo yadati, I had no idea. My friend Rabbi Steven Berg once wrote an article and he talked about a tragedy in our time that our education, our curriculum is far advanced, that our children, you can take a pasuk in Tehillim and they'll tell you Rashi and the Radak and the Mitzvot Dovid and Mitzvot Tzion, they'll tell you every parish. 17 interpretations of the pasuk. Intellectually they can understand and dissect, they can translate and interpret the pasuk perfectly. But can they cry with Tehillim like our grandmothers, like our bubbies and zadies? Do they open a Tehillim and know whom they're talking to? Are they having a conversation? Are they involved in a relationship? Are they pouring out their heart, knowing confidently that it's heard, that it's being listened to? That's what we're trying to achieve. That's what this revolution of about. This inner world of Chassidus, or whatever name you want to give it, is to wake up and to be present and to be mindful and to find meaning. And not just to mail it in or go through rote, but to be alive. But to be alive and to realize we're in a relationship with Hashem. Before giving the bracha to his children, Yaakov gives a bracha to his son Yosef, and he introduces it by telling him about his feeling of closeness to Hashem. And he says, the God before whom my fathers Avraham and Yitzchak walked, ha'elokim haro'eh osi me'odi ad hayom hazeh. And the simple translation of these words is, God haro'eh osi is the God who shepherded me from the day I came into this world until this very day. If you look in the art scroll, Stone Chumash, that's how it translates. Haro'eh osi me'odi ad hayom hazeh, God who shepherded me. My life is not just chance and happenstance. I'm not a victim of randomness or nature. I'm not a statistic. I've been shepherded. Everything that has happened for a reason. It's been choreographed and curated. It's been organized. It's come from above. But the Ramban writes, no. The Ramban says the root of the word haro'eosi, reish ayin, is a rea, is a friend. And if you look at the Rabbi Soloveitchik Chumash, it translates, ha'elokim haro'eosi, not the God who shepherded me, but the God who befriended me from when I came into this world ad hayom hazeh until today. Because when Hashem is your friend, you're never ever alone. When you live life with a mindfulness, when you're in an inner conversation with yourself and with Him, then you're never ever alone. We've lived through this period of acute loneliness, this 8, 9, 10 months of bidud, of being quarantined, of badad. What Eicha laments is the worst punishment a person could experience. There's intense loneliness, but when we're with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the Almighty is with us, we're never, ever, ever alone. I was once at a bris, and you know the way a bris works? After the bris, everyone grabs their bagel, everyone eats their meal, and one by one, the table empties out as people have to leave to go to work. And there were 10 people at a table, 9 and 8 and 7, and I was at a bris, and it was just me and one other person. And believe it or not, even rabbis have to go to work. Named the baby, did whatever we did, had to go. And I turned to the person feeling terribly and I said, I'm so sorry, Rabbi Yisrael, to leave you alone. I feel terrible abandoning you and leaving you alone. I've got to go to work. Please forgive me. And I'll never forget, this holy Jew looked up and he said, Rabbi, alone? I'm never alone. I'm always with him. When a person feels, Ha'elokim haro'eh osi me'odi ad hayom hazeh, God, who true has shepherded me, but even more has befriended me. I have a best friend I can confide in and I can trust, who is dependable, who loves me and I love him, who's reliable and trustworthy. I just have to speak to him and burden myself. I just have to communicate. I just have to trust and confide. And not only the things I'm grateful for, but even unburden myself with the things I'm upset about. Because protesting the Ribbono Shel Olam, expressing frustration and anger, is also a form of emunah. When you have a friend that you're frustrated or disappointed in, you tell them, because that's what works out the relationship and makes you even closer. And so tonight's topic, the inner world of Chassidus. Whether you're hung up on the title, the topic, the historical introduction of Chassidus, the practices of Chassidim, or just this effort to become alive, to realize we're a soul that has a body, not the opposite. But you know, the term Chassidus was introduced to Chassid long before the Shtreimel and the Bekesha, long before the movement of the Baal Shem. The Gemara Baba Kama tells us, Amar of Yehuda, Haiman deboilem hevi chassida, lekayim mila denezik, and a person who aspires, who wants to be a chassid, needs to observe, to be scrupulous, fulfill the laws of nezik and the interpersonal damages. Rava Amar mila da'avas, Rava disagrees, and he says, no, you want to be a chassid? Mila da'avas, pirkei avas, master the ethics of our ancestors. Va'amr lei, and the last opinion is mila de'brachos. It's not nezikin and it's not avos, but if you want to be a chassid, you really want to channel that chassid in you, then master the world of brachos. So the Maharsha on the back of that Gemara, Baba Kama, and the Gra in explaining Psukim and Tanakh says, you know, these three, whenever you see the three, it's telling you a theme of three. We make the mistake of thinking that in the world of relationships, we live in the realm of two. Ben Adam l'chaveiro, between us and fellow man, and Ben Adam l'makom, between us and the Ribono Shalom, but there's a third, says the Gra, the Maharsha, and countless others, the Maharal, there's a third. And that is arguably the most important, because without it being healthy and alive, without being in conversation in this third relationship, it's really hard. It's really hard to advance in the other two. And that is the relationship Bein Adam La'atzmo. It's the relationship that we have with ourselves. So the Maharsha writes, Yirah ki chassid nemar amisha osa maisa al tzara yosa tov. What does it mean to be a chassid? It means to be present and mindful. It means to go the extra yard. It means to be striving and aspiring. It means to be elevating and on fire. To be a chassid is to be awake, is to be alive, not to be a walking corpse. So why the three? Are they arguing, or Rav Yehuda and Rava in the third opinion? Says the Maharsha, no. All three agree. They're focusing on different relationships and realms, on different aspects of the relationships we have. And they say, nezikin, to be a chassid, you need nezikin, is interpersonal. How could you be a chassid? How could you strive and elevate if you're insensitive and unkind, if you're not careful with how you treat others? Brachos is bein adam l'makom, our relationship with Hashem. How could you consume or take from His world without thanking Him first? You're stealing. You have to be in conversation with Him. But avos, avos is how to improve our midos. Avos is our relationship bein adam la'atzmo. It's our relationship with ourselves. The Maharal is the same theme in Pirkei Avos. Whenever you see the threes in Pirkei Avos, Pirkei Avos is replete with the number three. It's brought to you by the number three. And says the Maharal, it's a hint, it's a signal. Ben Adam L'Makam, Ben Adam L'Chadera, Ben Adam L'Atzmo. Now plug it in. Figure out with each of the threes which it corresponds with. So for example, that we know that the whole world rests on Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. Ashlosh Adorim Ha'olam Omeid. So which are the three? So there the Maharal, the Gros A, Torah, or Gemilas Chasadim, is Bein Adam L'Chavero. We know that. Gemilas Chasadim. Avoda Davening is Bein Adam L'Makom. But Torah, being present and mindful and mastering Torah, transforming ourselves, being alive, nourishing ourselves with Torah, the Nigla and the Nister, that is Bein Adam L'Atzmo. That's how we are alive. That's how we wake up. So how do we do it? How do we do it? So I'm running out of time, but I'll tell you one of the ways I'm trying to do it. One of the ways I'm trying to do it. I don't believe that you can be awake and alive if you're not in conversation with yourself, if you're not taking your own temperature, if you don't know who you are. You could bein adam l'makom, you could shuckle from now till tomorrow. You could learn all day. You could master mitzvos, you can observe scrupulously chumras. Bein adam l'chavero, you could volunteer for the chesed committee and do bikur cholam and nicham aveilim, and you could make sure never to damage or injure another party. But if you don't bein adam la'atzmo, if you don't ever have conversation with the tzelem elokim, that godly soul, that spark inside yourself, then how can you really be in a relationship or in a conversation with anyone else in your life? How can you? So dedicating time, setting aside time, being able to be comfortable in our own skin, to be in conversation bein adam la'atzmo, to know who we are and what makes us tick, and to hear the voice of Hashem inside us, that tzelem elokim, which is our conscience or our moral compass, or is the voice that is telling us what is our best self look like and how to pursue it, to make that time, to dedicate and devote that time to be able to be in conversation with ourselves. Again, our topic, our theme tonight is to light our soul on fire while the fireworks are going outside, to rise up while the ball is dropping. Our neshama has to be on fire. The Medrash Bereshis Rabbi Yadal tells us that the pasuk that we read from Tehillim in our davening, kol neshama ta'alokah, that every soul will praise God. Don't read it kol ha-nishama that every soul will praise God, but rather kol hanishima, with every breath we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a coincidence, the same root for soul and breath, because Hashem animated us and He placed a piece of Himself in us when He breathed His life into us. The Nefesh HaChaim describes that kivyochol, a glass blower, a person who's ever blown up a balloon, knows you can't produce the breath superficially. It has to come from deep inside yourself. You draw from inside yourself to blow and to place it in the other, to blow that glass, to expand that balloon. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, when He breathed life into us, and He turned us from a golem, from a lifeless corpse, and He brought us into a dynamic, vibrant, animated being. He took a deep breath, a piece of Himself, and He breathed it. He put it inside every one of us. He brought us to life. And when we consciously and mindfully breathe deeply, kol ha-nishama tehalaka, kol ha-nishima, only when we set aside that time and we disconnect can we connect to who we are. When we take those deep breaths, can we reconnect to our soul? Can we revive and nourish our soul? Can we make the space to evaluate and recalibrate our lives? You know, you're allowed to use the airplane mode function on your phone even when you're on the ground. How often do we put our phone in airplane mode? How often do we disconnect to close our eyes and take those deep breaths and to nourish our soul? Kol ha-nishama, kol ha-nishima, a breath. We know this horrific disease, corona, this pandemic that's taken too many lives. Person's oxygen levels drop. We know the gift of being able to breathe freely and breathe easily and breathe naturally. That breath is in sync with our soul. Some are not suffocating or short of breath physically, but they're suffocating and short of breath spiritually. And the answer is in reconnecting and nourishing our soul, in setting aside that time to connect, to be comfortable in our own skin, to not only eat the bread and from the shmorg of nigla, of the Gemara and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, but to nourish our corpse, to be able to shock it back into life, to feel and to sense and to be in conversation with ourselves, Bein Adam La'atzmo, and then to be able to have that relationship Bein Adam La'chavero and Bein Adam La'makom, to set aside the time for His bodedus and His boneness, to be contemplative and reflective. We're living in a time there's so much noise and there's so much input that all we get is static. But the ability to disconnect, to be thoughtful, Rav Itcher Meir in his magnificent new sefer, B'yam D'Rachecha, writes in his parak on Dveikus, if you want to cling to God, you want to stick to Him, you want to feel He's in the room, you want to feel that He follows you wherever you go, Hashem Tzilcha Yad Minecha, He's like the shadow who follows you wherever you are. How can you do it without His boneness? Oh yeah, I forgot 3 years ago I learned that I wanted to be connected to Hashem. If you don't set aside time every day in order to think, in order to recalibrate, in order to come back to neutral, in order to take those deep breaths to nourish the neshama, if you don't have His boneness, if you don't have contemplativeness and thoughtfulness, then how can you possibly create, connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So I want to end before introducing our next speaker by offering a challenge. I've written about it, I've spoken about it, and I continue to struggle to practice it. But the more people I invoke to partner on it, the better shot I have. And that is the 3-minute challenge. To be able to dedicate every day 3 minutes to disconnect and to connect. There are 1,444 minutes in a day. And even if you slept 8 hours a night, more power to you, God bless, that leaves you 960 minutes a day. And it's very hard to believe that any of us, in those remaining 960 minutes, can't find 3 to make contact with our souls. Not the 3 that we're racing through the sitter, and not the 3 that we're listening or learning the Daf Yomi, and not the 3 that we're running, but 3 that are dedicated to His bodedus and His boneness, to sit and to think and to reflect and to make contact, to remind our souls that we are a soul that has a body, to remember a check-in with our Creator, with our Master. Every one of us have those 3 minutes, especially if we know that our lives could literally depend on it, that it will radically enrich the rest of our days. So once again, thank you. Thank you to Rav Simi for putting tonight together. Thank you for our generous sponsors, Lidle Nishmas Yisrael Zalman Ben Yosef Chaim. Thank you to the 50 shuls who've collaborated. What a statement of achdus on this magnificent night. And it's now my pleasure and honor to introduce my dear chaver, my friend, Rav Reuven Brand, the founding Rosh Kol of the Yeshiva University Torah, Mitzion Kol of Chicago, Dean of the Midwest Center for Jewish Learning, person who's not only so knowledgeable in the topics we're talking about, but a great living example, with the hope that his fire can light ours as well. Without any further ado, it's a great pleasure to welcome and to hand it over to Rav Reuven. Thank you.
B'chavad Rav, B'rishus HaRav, thank you so much, Rabbi Goldberg. It's an honor to share this evening a few minutes with you. Thank you for hosting. Thank you to BRS for hosting. Special acknowledgement, Le'ilui Nishmas, Mr. Dudy Robinson. I can envision his beautiful twinkle in his eye and his smile in my mind right now as Neshama should have an aliyah. What an incredible evening. And thank you to everyone for coming, for participating, for joining in this remarkable gathering. I feel very out of place, honestly. I'm sandwiched between an influential and inspirational landmark Mora d'Asra and my own personal Rebbe, a living legend, a goan and a giant in this world, in the world of Chassidus, and I'm kind of in between, and I'm just someone who's trying to learn and trying to grow and find my own way. As many of you know, I'm the only one in this group who's not an internationally renowned figure. I'm the only one in this group who doesn't have a beard. I'm the only one in this group who doesn't have a smartphone. So what am I doing here? So let me share with you, imagine you went to climb Mount Everest. So you would travel to Nepal, and at the base of Mount Everest, you found there was a giant hut. It was like a hostel, a hall. And you went into this hut because you heard this is the place where all the Sherpas gather, all the guides. So you walk into this hut, and there are scores of people walking around. And in different corners, you see people who are sitting, and they have jackets and pickaxes and all of their gear. And they have papers and charts, all kinds of things. And there are lines of people standing in front of different desks to talk to people. And then on the side, there's one young man, and he's got some crumpled papers there, and he has folders up, and he has a few tools. And you see that a couple of people walk over to him on the side, and they talk to him, and then they leave, and a couple other people talk to him. So you're like, all right, people go talk to this guy. They want to talk to him. So you walk over to him, and you say to him, sir, hello, are you a Sherpa? The guy says, I'm not a Sherpa. I'm not a mountain guide. He says, have you been to the top of Mount Everest? The guy says, I've never been to the top of Mount Everest. So the man says, so what are you doing here? Why people come talk to you? He says, you know why? Because I have made it my business. I've been interested in this enterprise of people climbing Mount Everest. So I came to this hut and I just started to hang around. And I met different Sherpas, aged, you know, seasoned, incredibly accomplished Sherpas who've been to the top of the mountain and back many times. And you know, sometimes when they finish something here or there, they give me a little piece of paper, they give me some notes, they give me ideas. Or they give me a little leftover tool. They have this tool they didn't need. They got a new one, they got the next one. So over time, I found a couple of things that have been useful and I just share them with others. Those little tidbits that I've picked up, and maybe one day I too will climb that mountain. Maybe I'll be able to get to the top of Mount Everest. Chaverim Yedidim Morei V'Rabosai, I've never been to the top of Mount Everest. I'm not a Sherpa. I don't know much about Torah, and certainly not Torah Hanistar or Torah Hasidus, but I've had the privilege in my lifetime, B'siyata D'Shemaya, to be around people who have climbed that mountain, who have sought to climb that mountain, whether it's in my own family. My grandparents came from that world. I grew up in an environment in a shtibel where we had a Rebbe who came from that other world, who came from Europe. And as a small child, I didn't understand what it meant that this wasn't his first wife and these weren't his first children. But having that experience to be connected to someone who came from that world, watching him even just eke out one tekiah on Rosh Hashanah. And by the way, we used to have a break before tekiahs because not only did he go to the mikveh, our Rebbe went to the mikveh before davening, then he went again before tekiahs. He was a Rebbe in a small Hungarian town called Brid before he came to Baltimore. Grew up listening to stories of Shlomo Carlbach, and Rabbeim and Sfarim, and even more recent years, many of whom I can recommend just in my own journey that is still just at the beginning, authored by people like Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan, Zichrono Levracha, Havdu Ben Chaim Ben Achayim, Rabbi Zev Reichman, Rabbi Rav Kluger, Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky. So my goal tonight is to share with you some of the small etzas, some of the insights and thoughts, directions that I've picked up in my small journey, hanging around the hut with people who are true giants, and to think about them together as we, as Rabbi Goldberg said, we think inward. We take this opportunity tonight to think about how we're alive inside. And when we do that, We take a big pause. We can ask ourselves a simple question. What is the most important thing in life? What's the most important thing? Another way of thinking about that question, another way of reframing it, is what do we need most? Some of you who are watching remember this B'Guf Rishon in first person. I remember hearing about this in the Oldies station. There was a group before my time, but in the Oldies, they used to say, all you need is love. That's one, there was one mahalach like that. But the truth is, it's not exactly right, but it's reaching something. It's not enough just to have love, but that love is because a person really deep down, you know what we're all looking for in one way or another? We're looking for meaning. Whether it's to mean something to someone else, to find meaning, to create meaning. What we're looking for in life is meaning. And that's why when Rav Soloveitchik, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, reflected on what is the most important thing in life, Rav Soloveitchik said, it is, quote, to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of his hand resting upon my frail shoulder. To feel the presence of the Almighty, to feel the Ribbono Shel Olam in my life, because that's where we find meaning. The Ribbono Shel Olam, B'dori Olam, our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is our source of meaning in our life and in this world. And that's that feeling that we get, that feeling of meaning, of connection, when we do something good, when we help somebody, when we bring light into the world. And that's what deep down we're all seeking. Because at the end of the day, we know that binging Netflix, maybe it feels good in the moment, but it doesn't fill the real need. It's where our neshama is looking to shine. Our neshama, you could describe it as shy and sensitive. When we have meaning, that's when it comes out and that's when it shines. And we're all looking for that. All human beings throughout history. This is why Rav Kook 100 years ago observed this about the people who were chasing after all kinds of movements, socialism or Marxism or communism. Rav Kook in the Ma'amar Ador says these people are looking for meaning. It's true today. Today we have some of the most successful companies, incredible capitalism, and yet what is one of the biggest buzzwords out there on the street? Social entrepreneurship, social capitalism. People want to, you know, buy a pair of socks for me because I'm going to give a pair of socks to a child in Africa who low-lying who doesn't even have a pair of socks. Because people are looking for meaning. They're not just looking to make money. People are looking for meaning all across the world. And each one of us in our lives and in our Yiddishkeit, we are looking to create meaning. We're looking to find meaning. We're looking to find the Ribbono Shel Olam. So where will we find him? So one place that we can find the Ribbono Shel Olam is, as the Gemara says, in the Dalad Amos Shel Halacha, in the four cubits, in the personal space of Halacha. And many of us have met people, individuals, great spiritual leaders who have met and who got to connect with and found the meaning in their connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Dalad Amos Shel Halacha. One of the great Gaonim and Tzaddikim and Chassidim who I've met in my lifetime was the late Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, excuse me, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadok V'Karash Levracha. Rav Lichtenstein was giving shiurim in the Gris Kolol when my wife and I had the privilege of living in Yerushalayim, and we both attended his weekly shiurim in Machshava and in Gemara. And I can tell you, I saw it firsthand with my own eyes on countless occasions, that the Ribbono Shel Olam was mamish real for Rav Lichtenstein. Rav Aaron, when I can't even describe to you what it's like. Imagine he was such a strong individual. He was wearing his dark suit with his dark tie and his hat, clean shaven, standing at a shtender that was about half his height. He would grip the sides of the shtender on Wednesday night to daven Mariv. His Shemona Esrei on Wednesday night for Mariv. It looked like what I could aspire to for Ne'ila. He mamish was talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He had that connection, that meaningfulness, that presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam was in his life. It was incredibly palpable. And there are many people like that who have the ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Dalet Amos Shel Halacha and make that the avenue through which they can create that meaningful dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's not the only way. And for many people, as Rav Weinberger will probably discuss at greater length with a lot more insight in a few minutes, maybe other people find a different mahalach. Pasuk says, L'leches b'chol d'rachav u'ledov kabo. One of our aspirations is to go in the path of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u'ledov kabo, and to cling to him. Dorshe Hagados Omrim, says the Sifri, the Dorshe Hagados, those who would expound on the Agada, on the Haggadah, on the homily, they would say, Ritzoncha Shetakir, Ritzoncha, you want, if you're seeking, if you're searching, Lahakir es Mishaomar Vahoya Olam, to meet the Ribbono Shel Olam, Lamod Haggadah. Learn Haggadah. Shemitoch kach, through this, atomakir es mi sha'amar v'hoya ha'olam umedabek bedrachav. By learning Haggadah, we can accomplish that goal of connecting, of lahakir. Haggadah, Haggadah, it's miloshon gid, connection. If we want to really know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an alternative to the world of halacha, a complement to the world of halacha, is the world of Agada. Agada, the gid hanashe, that connects, that sinew that connects, that bridge, that Agada, which is its story, if its affect, its right brain, its experience. And even through the concept of learning, the words of Limud, it's a different kind of learning. It's about connection, the gid, the Agada. So this Agada is brought to us through different channels. One channel, for some, is the world of Kabbalah, the world of Torah Sinister that was revealed over centuries. You know, it was a Sod, Chachmas HaEmes, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, the Arizal. And that is a very deep and high and incredibly powerful Agada. It's a great guide to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like, imagine you were to take ibuprofen and somebody asked you, well, what's in it? You would say, I don't know. Well, if we went to the secrets of Kabbalah, to the Torah Sasod, we could open up that capsule and understand each of the different elements of life, down to the tiny atoms, all the little molecules, and how they connect, how we each connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We would build our gid, our agada, our igud, our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through understand how we're mystically connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But for many of us, that's not enough. It's because there's a beautiful mashal. This is a very beautiful introduction to Chassidus for those who are interested. It's one of several volumes by my teacher, Rabbi Zev Reichman from Englewood, based on the teachings. This one's based on Rav Moshe Wolfson, called Flames of Faith and Introduction to Chassidic Thought. He quotes a Chassidus parable that there was a village of peasants. And the peasants looked at each other and they realized that they had no leadership. And they needed someone to look up to and someone to guide them, someone to lead them. And one of them heard that in a nearby province, they had just coronated a new king. And that this king was going to become the ruler of their village. So the people were excited, but they didn't know anything about this king. So they said, one chacham, they said, okay, you go and you check him out and tell us. So the guy goes, travels to that nearby city, comes back, and he says, I gotta tell you. The king is great. He's witty, but he's down to earth. He's very personable. He's very understanding, but he's also approachable. He has vision, and he goes on and on. And the peasants are looking at each other. Shkoyach. Sounds great. But another peasant has a great idea. He says, just give me a couple days. He gets on his little horse, and he goes on the wagon, and he comes back a week later, and he says, Chaverim Yedidim, my dear friends, we have it all made. We have a surprise today. And out of the wagon steps the king. And now everybody feels good. And now the peasants feel connected. For on the first level, when they were told, about the abstract qualities of the king, when they were told all of the secrets, the traditions of the Kabbalah from many people, they say, I'm still not connecting. So the Baal Shem HaKadosh and the great Hasidic masters of the generation, they say, you know what? We know all of that, but we're going to do something different. We're going to bring the king to you, to me and you, to the common person. And we're going to create that opportunity to have meaning in our lives by bringing the king down to us, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the peasants look at each other and they say, really? And the king says, yes. The wagon driver, the man who went to bring him, says, yes, the king wants us to connect him. And they look at each other. They say, really? Do we have to move somewhere else? Do we have to move? No. He says, just right there. That's why there's a beautiful Chassidish interpretation of the Pasuk. Va'atim advekim Hashem Elokeichem chayim kulchem hayom. Va'atim yu advekim. We said, ledov kabo, we're connected. We have that meaningful connection, that agada, that gita with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ba'Hashem Elokeichem. Some people think, maybe it's going to be after 120 years when our neshama goes back to heaven, when we're b'meisim chaf. She says, no. Chaim. Yeah, maybe only tzaddikim. Maybe the holiest, the righteous people. Maybe those who are kulo kadoshim, kulam, that they're all kulo omer kavod. No. Kulchem. All Jews. Chaim kulchem. And not just that. Maybe it's dafkan Yom Kippur. Maybe it's on Hoshana Rabbah. Maybe it's the first night Chanukah. No. Hayom. Chayim kulchem hayom. Each one of us in our lives, while we are still living our daily lives, hayom, we could be Davik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can connect. And how much meaning is that going to bring for us? How much simcha, how much life, the chiyus, the vayichi, as Rabbi Goldberg mentioned before. That meaning is going to come from that connection, feeling the presence. One of the things that we struggle with in life over the course of our lives in different ways is a lack of connection, a feeling lonely. The previous Surgeon General of the United States, the Friedrich Surgeon General, and soon to be, I believe, the next Surgeon General, a guy by the name of Vivek Murthy, has an interesting book. It's called Together. Together, about the challenges of loneliness, about how he went crisscross the United States studying healthcare and people's health challenges. And you know what he kept coming back to? People feeling alone and lonely. So he writes a book about being together. Because what we really crave deep down is that meaning, it's connected with the idea of being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connected to the source of meaning. So Chassidus enables us this avenue of connecting to Hashem, of Agada. It enables us to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chayim Kulchem Hayom. So there are multiple ways. Let's think about three ways that we can understand on our level, those of us who are just beginning our journey, who are pursuing, searching for meaning, for connection, for bringing the Ribbono Shel Olam to our lives. So one way that Chassidus focuses on this is through the realm of mitzvos. By focusing on mitzvos is not so much the Maisa mitzvah, the action, the checking the box, the Kiyam mitzvah, of course, which is important, but the Kiyam Shebelev, the experience of that mitzvah, that the word mitzvah comes from the word Tzavsa, which means to connect, to partner, to team up with. Every mitzvah is an opportunity to team up, to partner up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to create a Tzavsa between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between the Ribbono Shel Olam's, whatever that means, that pure essence of unending light, endless light out there, and the space that we have to create space for that life, to the space that we have to bring that life into this world, to create that connection, that Tzavsa, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol and our world. So for example, you know, we have the mitzvah of Shabbos candles. So of course, Chazal tell us that the halacha, the Shabbos candles are lit for Shalom Bayis. Even discussion, we've shown him where we light them in our house, in the hallway, make sure people don't trip so that we can enjoy our meal, we could see the food, we could see each other, all those things, all true and important. But there's also a deeper level, a deeper meaning that Chassidus would say, or the world of Agada would say, when we look at those Shabbos candles. The light, the Shalom, the Shmos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his name is Shalom. There's a beautiful Sefer on Shabbos by Chaim Chernovitzer called Siduro Shel Shabbos. And here he has an entire section devoted to what happens when we light Shabbos candles in our home. V'nimtzim avur that shtei pu'ulos po'olim ha'oras v'adlokas haneiros. When we light Shabbos candles, two things happen. Shemitecha shemitzad ha'arosam yiskareish v'yosrim in habayis harava sitra achar shebo me'itzovin v'dagas mechol. We drive out the stress, the anxiety, the difficulties. We just let it go from the weekday. And what do we have? Ulohoyer es habayis ba'or shel simcha li'os or b'moshvosam of or beso. There's an inner light. And this is true for every mitzvah. It's not just through mitzvahs, it's through people. The world of chassidus gives us the world of tzaddikim to connect to. Because those tzaddikim, those great neshamas of every generation, they help us connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's their job. And it means we can connect to a tzaddik, whether that tzaddik is living in our generation, or like the Gemara says in Brachos, those tzaddikim, when they go to the next world, their impact in our world and in the spiritual realms is even greater. So we can read about them. We can learn their Torahs, if souls of Dovas Bekever. We can connect to them. There are Breslover Hasidim today. I think that Reb Nachman Breslover died when Abraham Lincoln was 1 year old. You can find a Hasidish Rebbe who fits your Tzuras and Nefesh, your approach. Doesn't have to be even living today. But it doesn't just mean that Chassidus enables us to connect to people who connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like tzaddikim, but even friends. In the world of Chassidus, we emphasize the Dibuch Haverim, the getting together, the Beis Avram of Slonim. It was quoted as saying that when Jews get together, the power of Jews just being together, of Shevas Achim, of a Kumzitz, of a Fabrengen, that itself can move spiritual worlds. And of course, through Torah. So there's mitzvos that we have a special approach to. There are the ways that we approach people, and of course, the way we approach Torah. And these are perspectives. Sometimes I find it challenging because I open certain sfarim and the terminology, the language sometimes is very foreign because it's based in Kabbalah. And what do I know, what the regular people, what do we know about Kabbalah? But if we are patient and we look, Meitzes min acharak, and we find those pieces of Torah that relate to us, that help us open up, they enable us to look deeper. Sometimes people say, oh, it's just, you know, it's a cute vart or a gematria. Part of that is understanding that sometimes the way to convey a deep idea is through a simple communication, is through a simple mashal or an analogy. Like last week's parsha, we said, B'shivim nefesh, 70 souls went down to Egypt. Yeah, you do the math. They only had 69. So Rashi says, okay, Yocheved was born, Ben Achomos. But Rav Meilach Biederman, the Heiliger Rav Meilach, he says, and he's one of the great expositors and ambassadors of the world of Chassidus today, Rav Meilach says, you know, of course, it's 69 plus the Ribono Shel Olam. Anochi Ered Imcha Mitzrayma. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down with us. So you could say, it's very cute, very cute. But it's trying to tell us something. It's trying to remind us that when we read these psukim, when we apply that to our lives, we realize that we all go down to Mitzrayim sometimes. We all find ourselves trapped or hemmed in or in the straits. But the Ribono Shel Olam comes down with us. That chassidish small insight, that little spark of light, is meant to enable us to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. So it's through Torah, it's through friends, it's through tzaddikim, through people. And it's through mitzvos. So what happens for many people, and with this we'll conclude with a couple of practical ha'aros, because for many people they say, wait a second, this is not where I come from. This either wasn't my family minhag, I wasn't trained like this in school, I never grew up Orthodox, or I never grew up Jewish, or I grew up in a very rigid, different kind of environment. So how is this relevant to me? The answer is, it's okay. It's okay to grow. It's okay to develop. And it's even okay to change. Because there is no one way in Yiddishkeit. Don't worry. Don't get hung up on the outside. Last year, I had the great privilege and honor to be with Rabbi Goldberg and a few others together with Rav Weinberger Shlita. And he had the incredible gift to give us of bringing the Stuchiner, Rav Motel Zilber, to Eish Kodesh to teach us. And what I heard Reb Motel Zilber, the Stuchina Reb, was saying something so powerful. He says that very often we look around and we see the Hasidic communities to say, he says, that's really social. He said, don't get hung up on the outside. He's a great goon. He's a great generations. He doesn't wear the same hat like everybody else. He doesn't carry himself. It's different. Because what we're talking about, what Rav Weinberger is teaching us, what Rabbi Goldberg is emphasizing, what we're aspiring to, what the Stuchiner is telling us, we're focusing is about Pnimius. And Pnimius is shaykh even for people without beards. There is such a thing. Yikes for the Tzinoris, but it's where everybody at their journey. Some people, they're holding at this point. Some people are holding at a different point. Some people are ready. They're already going to Lake Michigan to the mikvah and Erev Rosh Hashanah during coronavirus. Not everybody's holding there yet. But you know what? It's okay. It's okay. It's a journey. It doesn't matter where you've been. You can always take on a personal practice, a personal path that's unique to you, that enables you to feel that meaning, that connection, that agada. And who is a great role model for this? None other than Avraham Lichtenstein. Tell you an unbelievable maisa. It's published in this beautiful work, a collection of Espedim. Dr. Tova Lichtenstein, she should live and be well. A year after Rav Aaron Zichrono Levracha passed away, she delivered a hesped. And at the end of the hesped, which was such a powerful message to me, I could tell you, I was sitting with this book a year ago in the summer. I had one of my Tiyul Tuesdays during Ben Ezmanim. I took a day, I went up to Milwaukee, I sat on the lakefront and I read this hesped, and it mamish struck me so deep. That at the end of Rav Lichtenstein's life, the last 10 years, they had moved from Yerushalayim to Alon Shvut. And he did something unusual, Dr. Lichtenstein said. Tova said that he did something unusual, that on Shvi Shal Pesach, he opened their home, they opened their home to a Sudas Mashiach for singing and Torah learning, which was very uncharacteristic, different from Lichtenstein. Not, as she says, a brisk style class with references and sources, but a tish to end the holiday. To me, this event symbolized the change in my husband that enabled him to express his feelings. Rav Lichtenstein changed over time. And she said, you know, it was amazing. Last year, she says, writing this a year after his Patira, on his last Pesach, when his medical condition made it impossible to invite his students to our home for a Sudas Mashiach, the Talmidim came and they knocked on the door. None of them imagined that they were bidding him farewell with these songs. But that was God's intention. God's desire was for Rav Aaron, a man of halacha, as would have suited his character and his desire, to bid his students farewell, not with the words of Torah, but with song. The Rebbetzin, Dr. Lichtenstein, is telling us that Rav Aaron, he developed over time. He changed over time. And we could do the same thing. We could do different things, even if we never did them before. So here are three lemaisas. No chidushim here, and you'll find them across the board. But these are things that maybe some will find helpful in their journey in the inner world. And the key to remind ourselves is that these practices are not for a checklist. They're not because they're a chiyuv, but they are there to create awareness, to create connection and meaning, to create an environment where it's vayichi, we're connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in the areas of davening, Shabbos, and driving. Three areas. Davening. You know, it says in Shulchan Aruch that we should wash our hands before davening. It's based on the Gemara. And now we come to shul. We get, I don't know, depending on the shul, different people with so many shuls sponsoring, you get hosed down. You get like defogged. There's so many bottles of disinfectant, of Purell bottles. Yes, we're all going to Purell. We come to shul. We're going to sit. All that's true. But I remember growing up in our shtiebel, the Rebbe had attached to the stender, a metal cup. Not only did he wash before davening, he used to sneak a little washing before he would say Shemon Esrei. Because he would say Su Yedechem Kodesh in his mind. He's saying, now we're going to do something special. I got to prepare. I'm going to wash my hands and prepare. Thinking about washing our hands before davening. Or, I know the Note of Yehuda has a tshuva about this, and not everybody's going to be into it, but there is a little word, a little phrase, Hinini Muchan Mezuman. I'm preparing myself. I'm getting mentally focused, oriented to doing something that is going to connect me to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if you don't say L'Shem Yichud, the full inner connection, it's too Kabbalistic. I don't know anything about that. I can't translate to Aramaic. But before we daven, do we say, Hini muchen mezumen, I'm about to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm ready to have a conversation. And the third area here is to use our imagination. When we close our eyes for Shimon Esrei, can we get creative in our imagination, imagining like we're actually going to greet the king, to have a conversation, to stand in the Beis HaMikdash? A couple of suggestions about davening. Shabbos. Rabbi Goldberg spoke about creating time for meaning and space and thought, whether it's his bodidus or his boninus, creating opportunities for the Kedusha of Shabbos. So whether it's somebody before they light Shabbos candles or maybe before they say Kiddush Friday night, to take a pause. You know, in our house, one of the things that's been beautiful about the experience of coronavirus is that I've been home sometimes on Friday night when we had to be at home for davening, and I could hear my wife, she was talking to the Rebbe Shlom with the small children when they're lighting Hanukkah candles. The Chama has a tune that they say in English outside to the Rebbe Shlom to watch out for and to take care for and to daven for, or to stand now before Kiddush. We stand before Kiddush, you hold the coast. Of course, yes, it appears in Ramah. You look at the coast, you look at the lights, you look in the coast. But do we take a moment and think what it means to bring Kedusha into our lives? Vayakadish, Rav Shlom says, you bring it in. No, no, we say it's Kaviyah Vakama. You're bringing the Kedusha. So he says, no, no, you make Kiddush. Do we take a moment before Kiddush? Maybe take a moment to just think, what does it mean to be Mekadish our lives? What does it mean to say Kiddush? What does it mean to have a Kaddish Baruch Hu? The second element of Shabbos, singing, maybe dancing. For some people, they have smiris. Maybe to dance a little bit. What if you don't have smiris? It's okay. You can learn online. You can get a niggin. You can find a zemer. And maybe another area, third area, is shaloshudis. You know, it's of course two opinions, the Rishonim, two opinions whether or not you have to wash for shaloshudis. But Rav Avadya Yosef in his Tshuvas Nechabadas points out that al pisod, shaloshudis is the highest meal. The Piyasetzer talks about this in his diary. Shaloshudis is that moment before Shabbos ebbs away, when we orient ourselves to the week, we say, Rebbeinu Shalom, this is the time of Ratzon, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to give us that will for the week, to connect to Him during that time. And the last of these issues, there's so much more to say, I'm way out of time. I have to ask Mechila for Rav Weinberger and everybody on the Zoom, because I'm stealing from Rav Weinberger's time, which is Geneva from all of you. Davening Shabbos and then driving. The Piyasetzner Rebbe, in the end of the drushes that he used to give in the 1920s and 30s, they have a couple of inyanim. It's a sefer called Derech HaMelech. He has a section here called Inyan Hashkata. Hashkata is what is related to what Rabbi Goldberg spoke about creating space for ourselves. And today we call that meditation. Creating space for silence. So often we're so uncomfortable with silence. So my Rebbe in meditation, Rabbi Yehoshua Karsh, so he encouraged me to think about finding time for silence. And it was a great etzah that driving is a great time. Now, driving, of course, safe driving is a good time for handheld, you know, hands-free talking on the phone, for shaving, for driving, for catching up, a lot of good things. But you know what? If we turned off the radio and we just looked out the window, Rabbi Karsh sometimes talks about, you could see the letters Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey through the windshield. It's a great time for Hasbodus. Sometimes we feel like we don't have time for Hasbodus. Yeah, but even, let's say you're on the circle, you're driving from Captiva to BRS. You could do Hasbodus just in the car if it's raining, if you're not walking from your house in Boca Raton on the circle to the shul. Don't turn on the radio. Don't call anyone. Just talk to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Say, Rebbeinu Shalom, this is what I'm worried about today. This is what I'm thinking about today. So you can have Hashkata. You can have mindfulness. You can have meditation, not closed, not with your eyes closed, but meditation. You can have Hasbodus. And you know what? Maybe you can even just third Eitzah, you can have time to smile. Don't turn on the radio. Don't call anyone. Just smile to feel the presence of the Almighty and to bring that simcha into our lives, Vayechi. Halavai, all of us should be able to find that Nekuda HaPnimis, that inner way that we can have that agada, that gid, to connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And hopefully, Mirtz Hashem, one day, each one of us in our own level will reach that pinnacle, will be able to greet the King personally. Thank you so much for coming. Yashar Koach, thank you, Rabbi Goldberg, Brishus and Rav Weinberger. If anybody wants book recommendations or things, they can ask Rabbi Goldberg, Rav Weinberger. I'm happy to share. Thank you, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Brand, for your inspired words and insights and the homework and the charge and the challenge you gave everyone. We really appreciate you being part of this tonight. It's a great honor and a privilege now to be able to introduce Mori Varabi Rav Weinberger Shlita. We're already deep into the night, and I could use up all the time that was allocated for him just to introduce him, which would be unfair to you and unfair to him. But suffice it to say that Rav Weinberger is the Rav of Eish Kodesh, the founding Rav of Eish Kodesh, but so much more than that. He's a Rav to so many across the planet, who he's inspired and lit on fire, who he's made contact with our own neshamas. There are those great individuals who talk to the head, and there are those who talk to the heart, but the greatest speak right to the neshama and wake it up. They tell us that we have a neshama even when we didn't believe, even when we didn't know. They give us the vocabulary and the tools to make that contact and to have that conversation. For that and so much more, we're also deeply grateful to you, Rav Weinberger. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being with us tonight. We know that you're sick and tired of the stream, the Zoom, how you yearn to be connected with fellow Yidden in a room and to exchange energy. But you've been Moser Nefesh in so many ways, and this one of them, a willingness to use this technology. And I assure you, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds who are watching live right now, an enormous number, are so grateful to you for it. Thank you, Rebbe, for this and for so much more. Without any further ado, Rav Weinberger. I think you're muted, Rebbe. Need to unmute. Does Rebbe see the unmute? No. I think the mic is not connected. Just figuring out this technical difficulty. How about now? Try now, Rebbe? No. Okay, well, Rebbe's getting that glitch. Now we know why he doesn't like to use this technology. Because when you don't use it regularly, for the good and the bad, it makes it harder. But the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to help us hear and make contact. Let's see. Brought in the reinforcements. I can assure everybody, well worth the wait. Thank you all for your patience. We are still live. Okay. Rav Weinberger is rejoining. Hopefully it'll work this time.
Can
in the meantime, Rabbi Brand, still with us. I'm bringing you
yeah,
back.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, so I wonder if while Rebbe's getting is Rebbe there?
Let's see. It's still muted. If unmute the mic. Frozen a little bit, I think. Okay. In the meantime, Rabbi Brand, give us more homework.
I was going to say that maybe it's Kedai. We mentioned before that there are things that people can read that can introduce them. You don't have to be in Williamsburg or Borough Park or Yerushalayim today to connect. For those who are English speakers, there are probably more resources. Rav Weinberger has spoken about this a lot. There are more resources for people than they ever were before. And there are also Hebrew resources. You mentioned before there's Sfarim from Avichai Meyer. There's a beautiful set of Sfarim called Sifsei Chen that people can, for those who are interested in Hebrew. There are also the Sfarim from Rav Kluger. Most of those are available on hebrewbooks.org, so people don't even have to purchase them. There are a lot of translations of many of the classic with the commentaries now. There's, for those, Rav Weinberger suggested to me and to many of us that one of the basic building blocks we got to start is in learning Tanya. So there is a tremendous set of Svarim now. You know, Rabbi Steinsaltz just passed away. He has a commentary on the Tanya. There's another big thick set of Svarim called the Tanya Muvueras by this group Chassidus Muvueras. So I think people should know that it's not a closed book. You don't have to have a connection to a Rebbe. You don't have to.
And you reference Rav Melech Biderman to subscribe to his newsletter in English.
Oh,
people can get it every week. And don't read.
You can get Rav Melech also on WhatsApp. They have, it's so bachaint in the Yiddish, but they have, with a couple days a week, they have English subtitles.
Right. Right. And it's tremendous. The insights are truly extraordinary. Right, Brand, while we're waiting and we have this time and we can now transition to a little bit of a conversation, are there any personal practices that you have that have a source in Chassidus? Aside, you know, as you described within tefillah and within hachana, the preparation to do a mitzvah, and within the hezbodudus on the way home or to shul, are there any personal practices on Shabbos during the week? Is there something that you've incorporated, whether it's part of your own personal mesorah or not, that jumps out?
So all of those things that I mentioned are things that over in recent years that I've had the opportunity to incorporate slowly, try not to make my kids crazy, try not to make anybody else crazy, but you know, if there are ways that I could take a minute without keeping everybody hungry for Friday night before I recite Kiddush, but that also has been, you know, something new. Growing up in our family, we have a long-standing tradition of Zmiras on Shabbos. So, how to make sure that we continue that? It's an interesting balance. You could probably speak this based on your experience as a Rav, making sure that we don't coerce our kids into singing Zmiras that they don't understand and read, but at the same time, making sure that that's part of our identity and their understanding of what our family is. So it's a challenge, you know, on the one hand to say, you know, this is what our family does. You don't want to sound exclusive. On the other hand, every family wants to say, you know what, this is special to us. So if the family decides during COVID to say, you know what, every Friday night we're going to gather around on Motzoi Shabbos and we're going to sing Elio HaNavi, you know, that's a beautiful thing.
Right. Any practice that increases a sense of mindfulness, any practice that promotes being present and further engaged and transformed, once you're doing the mitzvah, it should impact you. It should have a transformational impact on you, and that's not simple. One of the gifts of Corona that's been filled with so many curses is Shalashuddas at home. You alluded to it, the Piazetzna and others, the description, the Raiva Deraivan, the Rotzen Shibritzonos, the holy, holy, auspicious time of the week of Shalashuddas. In this winter time when the days are so much shorter, it's very easy to neglect Shalashuddas. But Chacham Einav Barosho, if you plan it accordingly, well, regardless of how much you eat, but you could have an appetite and diet of Shalashuddas just from the song and the Divrei Torah and being present as the holiest part of the week while the Shabbos is waiting to collect and to gather what you've experienced from the conversations and the Zmiros, from the board games, from the Shluf, from everything that happened, to pack it up and take it with us from Shabbos. So for me, Shalashuddas has been a great gift. Not there's anything wrong with the Shul Shalashuddas, but most would not describe it as the highlight of any week, Shul Shalashuddas, typically. It's often a lot of people waiting for Maariv to come. But a real Shalashuddas, we actually have introduced a lights out, a very Chassidish lights out Shalashuddas. The lights are off, and as it gets darker outside, it's darker in the room, and with it go the inhibitions, and you're able to really let go, and you're an neshama, not a goof. You're a soul, not a body. A soul that's singing freely, and that's hearing and sharing Divrei Torah freely. It's a very, very holy and special time of the week. Not waiting for Shabbos to end with excitement, but really dreading Shabbos ending.
Yeah, I would say the main thing that I felt like it was important for me to get across to everybody tonight who's listening is that even if you've never done it before, it's okay. You could find some way. It sounds impossible. When I started a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, when I was introduced to meditation, I thought, it's not shy, you know, especially for people very ADD, ants in my pants. I can't, like, who could imagine you're going to sit for 22 minutes and not talk and just clear your mind? But it's possible. There are a lot of things that if we do them in small increments can create a lot of meaning in our lives, even if we never thought they were possible.
Absolutely. And don't do it alone. You could have a chavrusa in these topics. And there's, like you spoke about, resources to listen to and to connect with. And there's no end to what one can tap into. And Chassidus is one big term, but the different groups of Chassidus have such different emphases. And find something that speaks to you. in a very beautiful way. Oh, okay.
Rebbe's back.
Rebbe is back. Let's see. Hold on. We still don't hear Rebbe. Okay, I'm not sure where the sound is. Rebbe hears us? I'm not sure what the connection. Okay, in the meantime, we'll still try to get this figured out. Nope.
I don't know who's closer to get there. If I can get there first or you can.
Chicago or Florida?
Yeah, I think
it'll be tough. It would be worth it to walk on foot. Well worth it, but it'd be difficult to do. Is there a Sefer Chassidus that you're learning right now? Is there something jumping out at you that's inspiring you now?
So you ask all the personal questions. But there is
I'm doing my best here, Rabbi Brand. You got a big audience who right now are not on for me or you.
Exactly. Everybody's like, he's hung around here for an entire hour. But I'm finishing. Actually, Rabbi Meir Biederman has a series of Sfarim called Be'er HaChaim. That's the name of the Machon. He actually has a Sefer on Zmiras of Shabbos.
Rebbe, hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt you. One second, Rebbe.
Do you hear me now?
Oh, absolutely. We hear Rebbe. Okay. We are going to step out. And with again, without any further ado, what is chus? The best things in life are worth waiting for, right, Rebbe? From Tzara Agra. So we're waiting for the Agra. Thank you, Rebbe.
Okay. So, Chevron, I'm very sorry. I don't know what happened here with the technology. My son-in-law came to the rescue, Baruch Hashem. And I apologize. I usually just get a link, a little blue thing, and I touch it, and everything happens. Halavai, everything will happen soon, the way that we're waiting for, the way we're davening. So I don't know what to do. It's already very late, and I don't want to keep you up. I was not able to be here only for the last few minutes. I heard my friend, Rabbi Brand, and a few of the words from Rabbi Goldberg now. And it's such a schus for me to be with my dear friends, my chaverim. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know if anybody is still there. And even though I'm doing this with the Zoom and all these videos and Zooms already for almost a year, I'm not comfortable with it. I really would like to be together with you and talk to you in person. So this is just a little bit of Ha'ara. When the Chevra asked me to speak about Hasidus, even though I've given thousands and thousands and thousands of talks, and every single talk that I give is about this Inyan, it's about the Or Shivas Yom, the light of the 7 days of creation, the soul of the Baal Shem Tov that was sent to breathe life into us, to prepare for the coming of Mashiach. But it's still, to talk about it openly in a few minutes, I don't know that I can. I really don't know that I can. I heard what Rabbi Brand was saying at the end, some practical advice that was so sweet and so beautiful. So with the remaining few minutes, let me just share with you a thought of where we are. Because I heard at the end that Rabbi Brand was talking about Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein and how he left the world. I had never heard that. I'm not surprised, but I had never heard that. So let me share with you. I'll begin with a tiny little story just to put into context where we are right now. Why is this happening? I'm not talking about, for the next few minutes, I'm not talking at all about beards and payas and strimals and black coats and all the accoutrements of cultural chassidus, and it's all sweet, it's all deep, it's all very beautiful. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about pnimius chassidus, what happened in the world, what's happening in the world now. I don't have time in a few minutes to talk about the yesidus of chassidus. Let me just share this with you. I've had the schus of being over the past number of years mashpia in Yitzchak Elchanan, Yeshiva University, where I actually went to yeshiva. I was zeichet to learn there. My Rabbi, Rav David Zalifshi, zeichet tzadav kosh levracha, and my Rabbi, Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. And only on one or two occasions was I asked to go and speak to the boys in high school, to the Chevra and MTA. I don't feel that I really have a shprach with younger students. It's not my forte, not that anything really is, but certainly not that. I have problems with my own teenagers, raising my own family over the years, problems, challenges. And this was a 10th grade in the high school, but they asked me to go talk to these boys because there was something different about them. What was different? These boys were on an exchange program with Bochrim from a remarkable yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael called Mekor Chaim. It was actually founded, it was started by Rav Steinzel, Zecher Levracha. Mekor Chaim. It's a yeshiva where Chassidus isn't a subject. Chassidus is woven into the fabric of everything that they're doing, of when they play ball, of when they're studying secular things, of when they're laughing and they're playing in the yard, and they're learning. And these boys, these MTA boys, had now returned from after being months in Eretz Yisrael in Mekor Chaim. And they were feeling sort of down. They missed Eretz Yisrael. And the Hanhala asked me to go speak to them. When I walked in, I immediately felt that there was something different. You know, 10th grade high school boys, and you're not their regular Rebbe. Even when you are their regular Rebbe, it's not posh, it's not easy. But, you know, some Chassidish guy walks in, some stranger. They were so serious. They were so excited. And I asked them, Chevra, I heard that you're a little bit sad coming back to Washington Heights. And it's hard for you to come back. So I want to share with you, I want to talk to you about one of the tiny little stories of Rabbi Nachman from Breslov. And it's called Yain Hungari, Hungarian wine. And I could talk about that because I'm Hungarian. My parents are Holocaust survivors from Hungary. And when I said that, the boys looked at each other. They were looking at each other and they were smiling. A couple of them started to giggle a little bit. And I asked them, what is it? Have you ever heard of this before? Have you ever heard this story? And they were nodding. They said they heard it and they were in Eretz Yisrael in Yeshiva from one of the Rebbeim. And not only that, but this Rebbe actually taught them a song. Took the story and put it into a song. And I was amazed by that. And I said, I never heard a song. I'd like to hear this song. Who could sing over here? And they all looked at this one adorable boy in the second row. His name is Avi. And he was very shy. I said, come on, Avi, start. We'll help you out. And he began to sing the song of Hungarian wine. So now I want to share with you. What was it that I felt walking into the room of 10th grade high school boys from Teaneck, from Queens, five towns, from Riverdale? What was it? What happened? What happened to them? What did they experience? What changed? So it was the story of the Hungarian wine. I'm sure many of you know that Rabbi Nachman, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, Zechus Yigalenu V'Kol Yisrael. Rabbi Nachman said that once upon a time, there was a Paritz, a Russian wealthy landowner who wasn't particularly fond of Jews, but he had a Jew working for him. All the Jews back then were called Moshka, regardless of what their real name was. The Paritz would call his Jew Moshka. So this Paritz had a moshke, had a Jew that was schlepping and worked for him. And wherever they went, of course, they would make stops along the way, and they would go to different inns and different kretschmas, bars. And Moshke always sat by himself with his little package of kosher food. And once upon a time, they came to a place that was actually run by religious Jews. And they had very, very expensive gourmet food and wine. And the Paritz was in a good mood after eating and drinking. And he said, Moshke, come over here, Moshke. He called over Moshke. He called over this Jew that worked for him and said, you know, help yourself. You could have some of this wine. It's kosher. It's Hungarian wine. It's the best stuff there is. And Moshe, or whatever, whoever he was, had some of this wine. He never in his life ever tasted such a thing. He was a poor person. He never had anything, you know. I guess he was just, you know, Concord, heavy Concord grape like we used to always have by Pesach. He never had such a thing. As time went by, he changed jobs. He no longer worked for that person. And he would travel from place to place with some odd jobs. But he would come to different bars and different inns, and he would make his stop along the way. And he would sit down with other people, with some Jews, and they would have a drink. And he would say, thank you. And they would ask him, well, what do you think about the wine in this place? He would say, okay, it's, you know, it's all right. But it's not Hungarian wine. You see, I once tasted that. I once had that. And you can't fool me anymore with these cheap imitations. I had Hungarian wine. Maybe not. All of you have been with me. I don't know where you've come on this journey, but this I could tell you, that once you've had this Hungarian wine, you're at a point in your lives where the world can no longer fool you. Don't fall for any cheap imitations of what it means to be a Jew. The world can't fool you anymore. So, Heva, I can only share with you, it would take me years. I don't know what to say. But I can tell you what the Navi Amos said a long time ago. I could tell you just as a Hungarian Jew who was privileged many, many years ago to have my first taste of that wine. And ever since then, I've been traveling and going and talking and talking and learning and learning. I've been trying to have more of this, to share it with my brothers and sisters. But the Navi Amos said a long time ago, it's a pasuk that you all know. This friend of mine that always says this is a famous song that was made into a pasuk. But it began as a pasuk in Amos. Hine yom barim ne'um Hashem. Days are coming. You can imagine Rabbi Shlomo Kalbach saying, days are coming. Vishlachti rav ba'aretz. Hashem said, I'm sending a hunger into the land, into the world. Lo rav lelechem v'litzom alamayim. It's not a hunger for bread. It's not a thirst for water. Ki'im l'shmaya es divrei Hashem. It's a hunger. It's a thirst for divrei Hashem. For the words of God, for divrei Hashem. V'no miyom ad yom. And the Navi says, at that time, we're living in it. At that time, Jews are going to wander from ocean to ocean. Mitzofen vad mizruch, from the north to the east, all over the world. Yishoyte tu levakesh es divrei Hashem. And they're going to seek Dvar Hashem. V'lo yimtso. And they're not going to find the Hungarian wine. The holy Jew from Peshischa, the Yidah Kodesh from Peshischa, said, Koidim b'yes ha-Mashiach, that before Mashiach comes, you misgoylulim b'chutzais, Jews are going to be rolling in the streets. rolling in the streets. There's some of our chevra that are out in the streets right now rolling around. It's New Year's Eve. Rolling in the streets, v'yavakshu v'yomru. But what they're really asking for, what they're really begging for is elcha v'ashuva el ishi harishon. Like the Navi said, I'm sick of this world. I'm sick of all the cheap imitations. Elcha v'ashuva. I want to go and to return el ishi harishon to my first, to my husband. I want to return to my home. So what is this Devar Hashem that Rabbi Brand's talking about? Rabbi Goldberg is talking about. What is this Devar Hashem? Actually, as everything else in life, it's a machlekes in the Gemara and Shabbos and Kaf Lamed Ches. To identify what is the Devar Hashem that everybody's looking for and searching for at the end of time. Because one of the tzaddikim, the Ramchal's Talmud, Rav Moshe David Vali, he asked, why are people looking for the Devar Hashem? Especially now, he was at the time after the printing press was already unrolled, was out. There's Svarim, everybody could find the Devar Hashem. There's Svarim, we're living in neighborhoods, Baruch Hashem, most of you are in neighborhoods where you have shuls that are packed with the Svarim, your homes have all the beautiful Svarim, Rishonim, and Achronim. So why the hunger? Why the thirst? It's all there. So there's machlekes in the Gemara. And again, I'm asking to, if you to be moichel, obviously whoever has to go, shall go. I'm going to keep on talking for like another 20 minutes or so. So I ask for machila. So the Gemara says, there's one yeshua that says, oh, halacha. Clarity in halacha. It's going to be hard to find clarity in halacha. One opinion says, nevuah, prophecy. I'll get to the last opinion in a few minutes. Halacha, nevuah. Halacha, nevuah. What Rabbi Brand was talking about, Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, who I was lucky to have also as a rabbi when I was in Eretz Yisrael, when I was in Koyla, when I was first married. Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein was an ish halacha. But at the end of his life, he was making Yil Chaim on the Hungarian wine, on that drink of the light of Pnimi Satara, the light of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Mashiach Suda, Zun Nevua. What does that mean? You all know the Nashir Hashir. Let's try to understand Halacha Nevua. You know that in Shir Hashir, at the beginning, Yishakeinim Menashikai Spiyu, Ki Taivim Dodecha Miyayin. Somebody is asking somebody else for a kiss. And you know, if this would be in the Old Testament, we had Mi Amar Al Mi, it's confusing. When you look at the Mefarshim, you look at Chazal, who is asking for the kiss? Is Hashem asking the Jewish people for a kiss? Yishakeim and Yishikai Spiyu? Or are we, Hashem's Kala, Hashem's Bride, are we asking Hashem, Yishakeim and Yishikai Spiyu? Who is asking who? So we understand that Hashem is asking us for a kiss. And for a long time now, for a long time, since the time of the second Beis HaMikdash and following the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash and all through these years, the great emphasis has been on our kissing Hashem with the Torah Shebaal Peh, with our love of Torah, with halacha, with the creativity, with the ingenuity of Jews who want to serve Hashem in a very careful and particular way. And in our endless determination to be Avdei Hashem, we are continuing on through these years of what Rav Kook referred to as the years of the Idea Hadassis, Idea Hadatit, of the religious idea, the religious ideal of how to live as religious Jews in the Dalet Amas Shel Halacha. And Hashem says, I want you during these years to kiss me with those kisses of your learning, of Shas and Poskim, of halacha. And we've done our best. That time, the tkufa, the period of the Bayis Sheni, and then afterwards, the time of the idea hadassis, of the religious idea, of the ideal, of the Dal Amos HaShel Halacha, Hashem says about that time, Chavivin Divesayfim Yenish HaTorah, that I love the Torah Sheval Peh, I love your care over every nuance in Halacha, the Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, Mahashar, Rambam, Ravid, Ritva, Ram, Chassam Sofer, Rabbi Kivega, I love that. Chavivin. That kiss that we have kissed Hashem with our love of Torah and our care of observing every single din in Shulchan Aruch. But according to the opinion that of Dvar Hashem, that Dvar Hashem is Navur, Yishakeim in the Shikos Pihu means that we're asking Hashem to kiss us. And we're saying to the Baruch Shalom, Master of all worlds, we've done our best during all of these years of galus. We've done our best to serve you, to be good, hardworking, obedient, studious Jews. We've done our best. But we're asking you, Shakeinim and Nishikos Piho, that we so desperately are longing for the kiss of Nevuah, of prophecy, of inspiration, of what it was like in the days of the Nevi'im, of what it was like when there was a first Beis HaMikdash, when there were Kruvim, when Jews would walk into the first Beis HaMikdash, and they would see Nisim, they would see your presence, they would feel your presence, they were inflamed with your love for them, and they felt it in the clearest and deepest way. We're longing for David Malka Mashiach. We're longing for Shlomo HaMalach. We're longing for the Yofi, the beauty of Yerushalayim, for the Malchus that was once the Jewish people. We're longing for your kiss. We're longing for the Hungarian wine. You see, those boys in MTA, Chevra, those boys in MTA, they had a taste of Hungarian wine when they went to the Gush. And when they returned, even though they were returning to wonderful rebellion and wonderful homes and neighborhoods and so on, but they tasted of what of course called the Idea HaElokis, the first Beis HaMikdash. All of those years of privacy leading up to the first Beis HaMikdash was the tkufa, the period of Idea HaElokis, the divine godly idea of the Dveikus Bashem. And these boys had tasted of that, Dvar Hashem Zunavur. Because you see, Chassidus, the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov, the way of the Baal Shem Tov, is a hishtashlus, is a continuation, is the reemergence, was the reemergence at that time when he came to the world, Hashem sent him to the world. Was the reemergence of that light of prophecy. Not that he was a Navi, but that light of the Idei HaElokis, of the Dvar Hashem Zunavua, of all that Rabbi Goldberg and Rabbi Brent were talking about, of that Dveikus Hashem, of the Nigunim of David HaMelech, of seeing Hashem not just in the Gemara, not just when you're in this medrash, not just when you're shuckling the lulav and listening to the shofar, but being intoxicated with God wherever you look, whatever you see. In those years of the first Beis HaMikdash and leading up to the first Beis HaMikdash, you would walk in the street, there were Nevi'im all over the place. The world was pounding, was on fire with the Dvar Hashem Zunavur, with God's presence and that feeling of His presence. In the Sefer Tal Lechayim, this is a remarkable Sefer. In Tal Lechaim, in the Chelik that's called Hakitzev Rananu, the entire Sefer is on this change that is taking place as Hashem is allowing from the time of the Baal Shem Tov, really, the Baal Shem Tov, the Vilna Goyen, the Ramchal, the Rashash, this was happening. It's not just Chassidus. as the Hungarian wine began to be allowed back into the world, and from the Rav Shmuel Yochai and the Ari HaKadosh, the secrets that were kept only to small groups of people were now leaking out into the world and began to take over with Chassidus, to take over the world. The light of Mashiach, the light of Nevuah. So here, the Talich Chaim, the entire Sefer, is really devoted to this change that is taking place. Why is it that there are so many wonderful, talented teachers who are trying to say to their students that what they were hearing back in 1960 and 1970 and even 1975 and 1980, and they felt that they were connecting and it was relevant, and the students were doing well with the Dvar Hashem Zu Halacha. But now they're wandering and they're looking for something else. Not to replace Chas V'Chalila, to replace Dvar Hashem Zu Halacha. I'll talk about that in a moment. Chas V'Chalila, not to replace the Gemara. Not to replace Rashi and Tosfos. But to integrate those two worlds. The world of Halacha and the world of Nevuah. Let me read to you just a few sentences. And again, I'm sorry for taking time. I started a little bit late and then I got fablunged with the machine. In Hakitzur Rananu, there's a chapter that's called V'yishlachti Rav Ba'aretz. And the author is talking about what has happened. We're no longer in the turbulent times, you know, World War One. Late 19th century, early 20th century, there was a kfira and heresy and atheism and so on and so forth, and all of these movements against Yiddishkeit. He says this has already left the world. He says, the generation that we're living in now, any yodea has sowed nishmasa. They have no familiarity. They don't understand the side, the secret of the neshama, their neshamas. Es kedushas Hashem shabai. Zedor reik, there's an emptiness. Ein bo kfira v'esnagdus. You know, all the kids that are on the streets right now, lo aleinu, getting themselves into trouble, all the chevra that are off the derech, or the ones that are sitting in yeshiva, many of them dreaming about a way out. These are not chas v'sholom. These are not kaifim. These are not heretics. These are not apikarsim. Chas v'chalila. They're not misnagdim to Hashem or to Yiddishkeit. Ein bo kas m'rivam Hashem. They're not fighting. They're not angry with Hashem. Adarabba. Davke dor zehu bal neshama gevoha ma'od. We're the generation before Mashiach, of Mashiach, that's going to greet Mashiach any day. This generation is Baal Neshama Gevoyim Ha'oid. It has an exalted soul. Neshama Atzilis, Neshama Shal Geula. Neshama Atzilis, Neshama Shal Geula. Neshama Zul Zerekes Bekerv Pnimius Alevavah Shal Kulam Tzmeyam Ha'oid Lelokeha. This soul of our generation right before Mashiach comes is thirsting for God. Lo Rav Lechem L'Tzom L'Mayim Kim L'Tzmai Yisdor Hashem. Mizgagas Ma'oid L'Mayim Chayim. Lo'or lakus shel Torah tefila, desperately wants Torah, desperately wants to daven. What Ramesh David Bali was saying over there in his parish in Amos was, yes, there are millions of svarim, but there are very few where a person can open up that sefer, and when he looks into that sefer, he can actually hear the Dvar Hashem, he can feel the Dvar Hashem. Dveikus and Tahara, haneshomas adira shel hador ve'evos ma'oid ma'oid. These powerful souls of our generation are very, very hungry. And they're longing for Hashem. But this bakasha, this longing is held deep in the heart. And they don't know what they're looking for. So it's like the Yad HaKadosh says, what's going to be before Mashiach? They're going to be rolling in the streets, in the restaurants, in the cafes, in the college campuses. They're going to be rolling in places where they're smoking and drinking and whatever else is going on. They're going to be looking and looking and looking. And they don't know that that which is that unanswered call inside of them, that loneliness that's making them crazy, that desperate desire they have to connect every single second, to constantly be in touch, is really a longing for Dvar Hashem. It's deep in heart. And most of the generation, he says, they find themselves in classrooms and places that are not speaking the language of Elokus. They're not speaking about God. Chever, think yourselves. Remember, think back. Maybe you had one teacher, and that's why you're still, or a parent or parents, that's why you're still listening to things like this. That's why you're still feeling connected and you want more of a connection. But try to remember, how much did you ever hear about the Ribbono Shel Olam? What shaychus? Once the Kedushas Leiv, the Heilige B'ditshva came, he wanted everybody to come to the Beis Medrash and B'ditshva to the big shul. And it was like a Tuesday. Nobody knew what was going on. They were very scared that there was something going on. A pogrom was coming. They didn't know what the Rebbe wanted to talk about. And there were thousands of people all around, outside the shul, inside the shul. And the B'ditshva had his talis over his head. And he went to the beam and he pounded on the beam and he says, Yidden, Jews, he said, forget it. Don't forget. Gedenk, remember that there's Ribbono Shel Olam. That there's Ribbono Shel Olam. That you have a father who loves you. You have a father who's your best friend. We're just learning in the Shia today. We had a chibur this afternoon. Yedid Nefesh, Avar Achman. That Ribbono Shel Olam is your friend. He's not just a Yom Miyun on the subject of davening. But the Kedaber Ish L'Re'eyu, that you could speak to him, that like Rabbi Brand was talking about. In the car, wherever you are, that he fills all worlds and surrounds all worlds. He's your life. He's everything. How can any of there is makorat simaynai? Therefore, this generation has big neshamas. But the neshamas don't know where this thirst is coming from. They're going around like mishagayim, looking for something to, looking for, they're really looking for Hungarian wine. Because the neshama tasted of it before it came. And these are the neshamas of Mashiach. Our generation is filled with the neshamas of Tohu, the neshamas of Mashiach, Mashiach, the neshamas, powerful, big neshamas. And they had lots of Hungarian wine. And then they came to this world. And they're looking for that. And they're trying and they're going here and they're doing that. And they're drinking and they're doing whatever they can. But at the end of the day, they're lonely and they're miserable because they feel that this isn't it. This is not what I'm looking for. Any of them ma'al of lasses kadei lahar voice, and they don't know what to do, how to satisfy their thirst. And all that they're looking for really is that tzaka gedola sheyavshus v'chipus chayim, that they feel that the Torah that they're learning is dry. That the Torah is dry. It's not being given to them on the Kadosh Baruch Hu. When Hashem gave us the Torah, says Anochi Hashem Lekecha, Anochi is the Torah, says Ano Nafshi Ksavus Yehovas, the Baruch Shalom gave us the Torah, and he says, and he gave himself with the Torah. I asked the Chevra in the mountains 2 years or 3 years ago to ask their sons, the boys were learning the best yeshivas in the New York area, the best top yeshivas, ask your boys, they're all the best learners in New York and in New Jersey, ask them, when was the last time they ever thought of God? When was the last time they ever heard of us? I'm not saying that they dabbed the dashers where it's coming, you know, 10 minutes late, leaving 10 minutes early, v'chulu v'chulu. When b'emes, b'emes, b'emes. And then he says, this is later on, or this is actually early in the Sefer Kuflamet Aleph, I hope you're still with me. Sherish kol ha-mashberim, the root of all of the mashberim, of the crises that we're having. And Yiddishkeit, and everything. It's not because our generation are small people. It's not because the Bali Taivas are small. Shenim chafetz in the Torah who don't want to learn. Elo lahepach. Machmas gedulas nishmasam, because of the greatness of their souls. Shemavakshem or geula godl umeya. They want the Hungarian wine. They want Yiddishkeit that's filled with the lukus. So they'll run everywhere in the world. Now they're running to Dubai. I'm going to be careful. I don't want to make fun of it. A lot of people got upset with me. I want all Jews to have a big panos and to make a lot of money and to take whatever they can out from Dubai. But think about what's going on there. The Jews are tripping over each other to go and to see big buildings and to go in the desert on a motorcycle or something. They're running all over the world looking. Mevakshem or geula. Godel Umeir. And this is not, this is by all parts of Klal Yisrael, because what's the Hasidic world is, feels just as empty as the yeshiva world, the modern Orthodox, the Sfar. This is the same thing. Most of Hasidus now is a cultural Hasidus, minhagim, and beautiful things, and nice tzaddikim, and a nice tish, but it's not what the Baal Shem Tov had in mind. It's not what the Baal Shem Tov was talking about for the most part. And that's, it's such a big generalization, of course. There are huge pockets everywhere here and there. But for the most part, it's not what the Baal Shem Tov was talking about. Therefore, the only language that our generation can hear when it comes to Yiddishkeit now is the language of godless, of greatness. Commissioner Philo Hedyich of Israel, he says, and you see that when a person is exposed to Pnimis HaTorah, whether it's in Chassidus, or whether it's not Chassidus, whether it's it's Nefesh HaChayim, whether it's the Leshem, whatever it is, when a person is exposed to Pnimis HaTorah, to the Dvar Hashem Zunavua, to that prophetic spirit, to that deeper, deeper Torah that's talking about Elokus, that's talking about the Rebbeinu Shalom, that brings you into his inner chamber. So the person's life becomes filled with excitement, with a sense of purpose, with a sense of meaning. And everything that he does is like a soldier, he says here in the Talmud Chaim, who is at war. And in the battlefield, every tiny little thing that he's involved in, every tiny little thing he says, Ki teres asoid mara keitz and avedus Hashem v'sei de yom shokol ish Yisrael, huini shal oilam umloyoi. When you begin to learn Chassidus, you realize that every single moment of my life, not only when I'm learning, when I'm in the office, when I'm at home with my wife, my children, my husband, when I'm at a simcha, when I'm playing ball, every single step that I'm taking is deep, is important, is meaningful. There's nothing that's unimportant. There's nothing that's inconsequential or insignificant. So this is where we are now. I told you there's a third opinion in the Gemara. One opinion is Dvar Hashem is halacha. That's the time that we're second base of Mekdishan on. The other opinion says Dvar Hashem is nevuah, is prophecy. Looking for halacha, looking for nevuah. Yeshem zahakates. And the third opinion is what everybody's looking for is the kates, is Mashiach. And Mashiach means the two kisses interfacing one with the other, of halacha and nevuah. And the words of Rav Kook translated into English. In the later generations, all the conversations of the disciples of the Gra, of the Vilna Gaon, taken together with the disciples of the Besht of the Baal Shem Tov, who were so diametrically opposed to one another in their day, is very lovely to us. Rav Kook said that years ago, these two worlds, these two kisses, the Dvar Hashem, Halacha, Dvar Hashem, Nevuah, were at odds with each other, they were at war with each other. The story of Baron Lichtenstein, the story of many, many other people, this way and that way, it's the story of our lives. That now these two worlds, as we prepare for Mashiach, these two worlds are coming back together. The two neshikas, the two kisses, the Dvar Hashem is Olach, the Dvar Hashem is Nevuah, the Dvar Hashem is the Kates. So now at the end of time, Chevra, and none of us can imagine, how is the world going to suddenly change? For Haya B'Yamahu, it's going to be, you talk of a Shofar Gadol, the Shofar is going to be blown, and all of us are going to run back to Yerushalayim. All of us are going to come running to Yerushalayim. You know how? The Zohar Kodesh says, Il mole havayodnim b'nei nosha, if only we would know. V'chimusa deracham kutshevichu liYisrael, the unbelievable, infinite love with which Hashem loves every single Jew. Havushayin kekefraya, everybody would roar like a lion cub. L'mirdef habasrei, and come running back to Hashem, coming right back to Yerushalayim. If I could say anything about Chassidus, again, I'm not talking about Lamaisa. I heard that Rabbi Brand was talking about that, and I surmised that Rabbi Goldberg was talking about his Baidus and his Baidus. Just to put things into the framework of time, this emptiness, this hunger, this thirst, this insanity with technology and everything else that's going on around us. We're rolling in the streets. And we're just longing for that Shofar Gadol, longing for the Devar Hashem. Chassidus, more than any other part of Torah, reveals in a very clear and open way that infinite love that Hashem feels for each and every one of us. And if you're wondering, what is it about so many of these kids and adults have suddenly found themselves in Yiddishkeit, or they're excited about Yiddishkeit? It's because they've tasted that Hungarian wine, that it has the taste of Hashem's love. So I'll conclude with a story that I've told many, many times. Again, I apologize for the late hour. But it's New Year's Eve. The night is young. I heard this from my daughter Siri many years ago. She's now Baruch Hashem, mother, Kedai and Hara, a big family. That it sounds like it's not a true story, but nonetheless, that years ago, sometime in the 1800s in England, there was a poetry recital. There was a competition. People were reciting poetry to get a prize, and there was a big auditorium filled with people, and it came down to the three finalists who were reciting all different famous poems and were being judged by the panel of judges, and it came down to the three last people. And the final poem that was given was the 23rd Psalm. Now, you and I know that that's Mizmor L'David Hashem Ro'i Le'echsar. Hashem is my shepherd. Lo yirara ki'ati imadi. Gam ki'ela begeitz ha'mavis. No matter what I'm going through in life, lo yirara. I'm not afraid. Not of pandemics. I'm not afraid of vaccines. I'm not afraid of anything. Lo yirara ki'ati imadi. You are with me. So they were asked, and they recited it. And the third fellow was a young guy, and he was clearly the most articulate, the most eloquent, and it was beautiful. He recited in the most beautiful way. And hands down, the judges said, you know, you're the winner. And they were about to give him the prize. And all of a sudden, from the back of the auditorium, an old Eastern European Jew stood up in the full dress, and he said with a heavy accent, judges, could you let me try? Could you let me try? Everybody was laughing. They thought this would be an entertaining way to end the evening. And the judges called him up, certainly, Rabbi, please. And the old Jew got up there. And he said in broken English, the 23rd kapitel, Mizmor L'David Hashem Le'echsar. In the beginning, they were smirking. By the time he finished, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. People were tearing. They were just moved by it. They couldn't explain why. Anyway, the night was over. Everybody's leaving. And the winner is holding the prize. And he runs after the old rabbi. And he says, Rabbi, the truth is you deserve this prize. And the old man said, I wasn't competing. You did very beautifully. It's yours. So the young man asked him, but tell me, Rabbi, why is it that when I was saying the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, why is it that people were cheering, they were clapping, but when you finished, people were crying? So the old man said to him, you did a beautiful job. But there's a big difference between me and you. The difference is that I know the shepherd. That's the difference. Chevra, you're listening to me. I don't know who was there still. I don't even know if the Rebbeim are there. I don't know. And it's enough if I'm talking to myself, because I do that a lot. The difference is that I know the shepherd. I know the shepherd. Do you know how different davening is when you have a relationship? It's not about Kiddush Club. It's not about getting to shul 10 minutes late and leaving 20 minutes early. It's not about wanting to kill the Baal Tefillah because he davened an extra 4 minutes. Learning and davening, everything. I know the shepherd. That's what Chassidus is. An introduction to the shepherd, to the Raya. And when you make that connection, we now just started the shiur last week in shul, Thursdays at 12 o'clock, on his Hesbeidedus, making the connection with the Yedid Nefesh, with Hashem, knowing that he's my dearest friend, knowing how he's crazy in love with me and how I can't stop thinking about him. Dvar Hashem, Nevuah, Dvar Hashem, Halacha, Dvar Hashem, Kates, we should be zeichah to see dictates the end. Hakitzaron Shachnei offered to see the light of the Vilna Gaon, to see the light of the Baal Shem Tov, to see the light of all true tzaddikim, to see the light of Hashem's love for us. Now we're going to get up and roar like lions and chase after him on that day when the shofar is blown and all of us are going to return to Yerushalayim with the Gula Shema Amitis, Mehemim and Amen V'Amen, all of my love from Woodmere. Everybody Shabbat Lechtig and Shabbos, Lechtig and Shabbos.
Thank you so much, Rebbe. We want to thank you on behalf of all of us. It was well worth the wait, and we'd stay here all night. And as somebody wrote in the comments, we'd stay here at least until next year, which is only an hour and a half away. So, Rebbe, thank you so, so much, really from the bottom of our hearts. It came across from the bottom of your heart. A big thank you to Rabbi Brand. Thank you again to all the co-sponsors. And thank you to 50 communities across the country participated in tonight. Many, many hundreds of people were listening and learning. As the fireworks are shot outside, we should be lit on fire. And as the ball drops, we should only rise up and elevate and grow higher and higher. Thank you, and wishing everyone a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.